So I took a drive out there and brought some samples to them and walked in, and they were using another enzyme-based product. And I brought some test strips with me that were there specifically to test enzyme activity. And what we found with some of the competition out there is the fact that when the enzymes are diluted, they tend to cannibalize each other. So a lot of times these facilities are using products with dead enzymes. I did the live test with the test strip and had an immediate reaction showing the enzyme activity with ours, and then duplicated the test with our competitor, and there was no enzyme activity. And the nurse, upon seeing that, grabbed that product and physically threw it in the trash.
What if one conversation could save a life? What if one new process or new product could save a patient from surgical harm? Broadcasting from a hospital basement near you, you are listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the global voice of sterile processing. Each week we spotlight the best practices, products and people from around the world who are disrupting our profession and helping you fight dirty. Every instrument, every time. Join us as we have the kinds of conversation that matter and give our industry the kind of voice that it deserves. Nyt on aika mennä puhdastakin puhtaammaksi. And now it's time to go beyond clean.
This Beyond Clean Vendor Spotlight is featuring Colorado natives Peggy Spitzer and Brett Norton from Sertol International, a company that specializes in developing chemicals for instrument processing and surface disinfection. Peggy serves as a clinical education manager for Sertol and has over 30 years of combined experience as a healthcare provider and educator. She develops and presents education on infection prevention, instrument processing, and best practices for chemicals. She is a licensed dental hygienist, has a bachelor's and master's degree in adult education, and is an infection control consultant for the Colorado State Dental Board. Peggy is actively involved in the sterile processing industry, having served as a past president and secretary of the Rocky Mountain Central Sterile Isham chapter, where she currently holds the position of treasurer. And Brett serves as the sales and marketing manager for the medical division of Sertol, with over 17 years of marketing, sales, and account management experience, having worked with a variety of nationally recognized brands to build successful and sustainable sales growth programs. Growing up in a family of healthcare professionals, Brett's passion for patient care brought him to Sertol International, where he currently oversees company contracts and pricing, product marketing, and works closely with hospital and distributor partners. He is also frequently in attendance at company trade shows. Through countless hours spent in a hospital setting, Brett's natural clinical acumen when training and educating hospital nurse teams and sterile processing technicians has proven to be his best asset. He's extremely knowledgeable when seeking solutions for infection control issues and aims to pursue his CCSVP certification within the next year. And Hank, having held a CCSVP for nearly 10 years myself, I could not be more encouraging of Brett to go ahead and pursue that certification. And also, I'm very excited to have Peggy on another episode of Beyond Clean, because she's been a fabulous guest in the past, and we've talked about a whole variety of topics, but now we get to talk a little bit more about what's going on at Sertol International. Not only do we get Brett and Peggy as great educators, but we get to talk about the great products that they're bringing to the market as well.
I'll tell you what, Justin, I worked in the sterile processing industry for a number of years before I ever heard of Sertol. I guess I was living in a bubble, maybe not an enzymatic detergent bubble, but a bubble nonetheless. So as I have encountered Sertol, and the more that I've learned about them, the more impressed I have become. I'm pumped, though, just like you said, to learn more of the history of the company, and in particular, some of the specific solutions that they have on the table to help sterile processing technicians do their jobs.
All right, well, let's get right into it. We'll be back in just a moment with Brett Norton and Peggy Spitzer from Sertol International.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Brett Norton, Sales and Marketing Manager for the Medical Division of Sertol International, and Peggy Spitzer, Clinical Education Manager at Sertol. And Peggy, you've been a guest on the podcast several times in the past, talking about various topics. And today we're going to be talking about a topic very near and dear to your heart, which is Sertol International, and really introducing some of your products and additional education, which is something that I know is a big focus for the organization. So we're pretty excited to have you and Brett on the show today.
Thank you for having us. We are very excited to be here today with Beyond Clean. So Sertol International is a manufacturer. We specialize in manufacturing chemicals for instrument processing and also for surface disinfection. And I do believe that quality is the best way to sum up Sertol International. We have a 40-year track record in chemical manufacturing for infection prevention products throughout the healthcare industry. And we're very proud of the fact that we pioneered the development of pretreatment sprays for healthcare instruments, instrumentation.
Peggy, I know I've done a lot of in-services and presentations on point-of-use cleaning, and I know that's something that we're going to be really talking about, but I am excited to hear more about pretreatment sprays. But just to give some credit to the efforts that you and Brett have done in educating on similar topics, I think it's one of those that just can't be discussed enough. How did the company come about? Can you talk a little bit more about its formation and its current state?
Yes, I've been here with Sertol for a while, and we have had a really interesting history with a previous ownership that did go through some struggles. Then current ownership really dug in and resurrected the brand with a lot of hard work and effort and perseverance and persistence. But really, it all comes down to their commitment to quality. I believe that's what really impresses all of us here is the real commitment to quality. We maintain good manufacturing practices and standards. We have an on-site lab for our continual quality control. We do a lot of on-site research and testing. So it's really quite a commitment to quality throughout the company.
And so, Brett, let's talk a little bit about the impact of that commitment to quality in the market, right? So in all of these scenarios, you're addressing some problem. Would you talk a little bit about what that problem is and again, define a little bit about the state of the market as it is today?
You know, I think all of us in the industry, when we're going into the facilities, we are faced with helping and educating based on a lot of the challenges that the facilities are facing. And one of the ones that we tend to run into a fair bit is the pre-cleaning. A lot of people think when you talk about instrument cleaning that it's all sterile processing. And in reality, this has to go through the entire facility, and the majority of the people in the facility have a role, and they need to understand their role and play their part. You know, when you're talking about OR, labor and delivery, ER, pediatrics, orthopedics, any department really, it's important that everybody understand they have a responsibility in this critical process.
I don't want to single out labor and delivery necessarily. However, I do know there's a lot of experience from sterile processing departments in particular that is one challenging department just because of the level of bioburden they're dealing with and the amount of time often that elapses between the point of use in those delivery suites and the time that it gets down to sterile processing. So yeah, I totally agree. That is a huge challenge there. So Peggy, you dig in a little bit more to those various roles that Brett mentioned across the continuum of care and kind of describe in particular what those challenges are that they face.
So there's truly a challenge to all the departments, as Brett was describing, about preventing dried soils, and in particular labor and delivery, or ER, where it's a 24-hour service, but the sterile processing department may not be a 24-hour service. So the soils may be drying between the point of use and the place where the instruments are going to get processed. And I do want to point out that Sertol actually pioneered the development of pretreatment sprays long before this became an issue for Joint Commission and the survey process. So we knew long before this Joint Commission focus that this was a problem, that dried soils do occur, and that facilities were having a real problem dealing with it.
Yeah, and kind of going back to, you know, the mention of everybody having a responsibility, we've gone into a number of facilities and, you know, we see some that have an understanding of the process and some that really just don't know what to do or have any direction on who's responsible. And so we've gone into these facilities and actually worked with each department, whether it be labor and delivery or orthopedics, wound care, pediatrics even, and just gone through the steps to actually give them a sense of responsibility and to, you know, just inform them that, you know, these are the steps. If you're using our pretreatment spray, this is how you use it, and this is the importance of what your role is in making sure that these instruments are actively treated and wet and, you know, ready to go on their way down to sterile processing.
Yeah, like definitely understanding how those chemicals actually work can be a challenge. And Peggy, like we've talked to you about that previously on our podcast. And it's one thing in a sterile processing context where we've just got chemicals all over the place. But as you move farther out from sterile processing into these user departments, I would imagine there could be a lot of confusion or misconceptions around how the chemicals work and actually how they don't work sometimes. Can you speak to that at all?
Absolutely, can speak to that because we do get questions. A lot of this comes by email or over the phone. And the questions indicate a lot of confusion about the role of chemicals, the correct application of chemicals. There's persistent feeling that chemicals could be magical, but we have to try to help folks understand that chemicals are not magic, but they do have great benefits. They're used correctly. And the part that really bothers me is I think clinicians are really vulnerable to misinformation. Sometimes it comes from their coworkers doing, well, that's how we've always done it. But much worse, in my opinion, is when people get misinformation from manufacturers or sales reps about a particular product and what it can do or can't do. And one in particular that I'm really disturbed is that a manufacturer might claim that a detergent provides disinfection properties when in fact it's not EPA registered, and that somehow this detergent will make items safe to handle at the pass-through window. I think this is unethical and could lead to harm for both the workers and the patients.
Yeah, that is a huge topic of debate in the sterile processing industry right now. You're right, that distinction between those two types of chemicals. And I'm glad that you're out there educating around that, because that is part of this process for improving. It starts with education, but then obviously it's got to move to, once you understand the dynamics, what tools will actually do what you need done. So let's pivot here and discuss. Understand the pioneering, the innovation that Sertol led the way for the development of these point-of-use treatments. We understand the focus of education, but what products in particular, what tools have you developed that are addressing these concerns at the front lines, at the point of use?
For one, when you're talking point-of-use and pretreatment sprays, we have our ProEasy Foam. That is a four-enzyme formula that works very well, very effectively, has some corrosion inhibitors as well. It's maintaining the instrument profile and, you know, keeping the instrument safe during its journey to sterile processing, decontamination, and eventually sterilization. And the other thing that's really important that we've found is, you know, say if you have an outbound surgery center that is transporting the instruments to a sterile processing department, to a hospital, and there are long extended delays, our foam has documented evidence that it does keep items moist for up to 72 hours. So that is a real benefit when it comes to the long delays and making sure the instruments are protected.
Yeah, you know, Brett, I've heard people talk about using various different products. And one of the things that sometimes happens, they'll say, well, it's great that we had this product, but now it's dried onto the instruments and it's harder to scrub it off because the agent that we're supposed to be using to keep blood from drying is drying on the instruments. So that's always kind of interesting. And that 72 hours sounds great, and I bet it would be refreshing for a lot of people to use a product that's not going to dry onto the instruments if left too long. Obviously, you want to get to them as soon as possible, but those scenarios like labor and delivery that Hank mentioned, they do come up, and a lot of times they're just remote from sterile processing. They're not really in that surgical services dedicated elevator process, and those things happen, and never mind getting to the clinics. The other thing that's interesting in this industry is we use the term point of use cleaning quite a lot, but that's more limited to surgical services. But that terminology is different when you start talking about the GI world. So flexible scopes, et cetera. What you'll typically hear in those settings is bedside cleaning. What kind of products do you have for that setting?
So yes, we do have a fairly new product that we've put together, because the other point of use challenge is definitely in the endoscopy suite and various endoscopy treatments. The same problem occurs. There are dried soils that will occur inside the channels of the scopes during the transport process. So Sertol has developed the QEZ bedside kit. This is to help your departments with proving the point of use compliance by making it easier for those folks who are under a lot of pressure, a lot of time pressure in particular, to do this process very quickly and yet also have it be effective. So the QEZ bedside kits are designed to improve compliance by being convenient, but also having really fast action at room temperature.
And Peggy, one of the things that when we were preparing for this interview that we talked about that really impressed me was the fact that both you and Brett and the organization as a whole really gets out there in the field and does testing with the customers. It's not just, hey, here's the product and this is what it's used for. You get out there and you really work with the customers directly. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, we did test QEZ bedside kits both in-house and also in the field. We're also testing to make sure that the kit design itself is useful, it's easy to use, that it actually fits with the actions of the folks that are in a hurry and doing this work at bedside. So for example, the bag that holds the fluid is easy to open, and it's a design that's easy to put the scope into. That the sponge is designed in a way that makes it easy to use, but also has some effective cleaning for the outside of the scope. And we watched people in action in various endoscopy clinics using either their current product or the QEZ product to see how their actions and activities would affect the use of this particular design. Then we also tested the QEZ product detergent, which is Pro-EZ AW Quad. That's the detergent that's used in the kit. We tested that product against various competitors to verify that this product really would activate quickly at room temperature and have real effective enzyme action. That was a very interesting process to do that field testing and to see the faces of the endoscopy workers when they saw the effect of their product with the test strips versus the Pro-EZ AW Quad with the test strips, and the amazing difference in the activity with our enzyme detergent.
Yeah, and I have something to add to that as well. It's some experience in the field, because I had a conversion opportunity with a local hospital who was very interested in the product because of the performance factors and the four enzyme formula. And so I took a drive out there and brought some samples to them and walked in, and they were using another enzyme based product. And I brought some test strips with me that were there specifically to test enzyme activity. And what we found with some of the competition out there is the fact that when the enzymes are diluted, they tend to cannibalize each other. So a lot of times these facilities are using products with dead enzymes. So I did the live test with the test strip and had an immediate reaction showing the enzyme activity with ours, and then duplicated the test with our competitor, and there was no enzyme activity. And the nurse, upon seeing that, grabbed that product and physically threw it in the trash. And that's a true story.
Wow. Yeah. The topic of cannibalization of enzymes and dead enzymes. That just has a whole separate podcast written all over it. And just, you know, that idea, because as a user, I've never even considered the fact that diluting something like that could cause enzymes like literally to eat each other, right? But yeah, what a testimony to the impact of having that data in front of the users themselves to make that decision in the moment. Yeah, that's a fantastic example there. I do want to transition a little bit here. I do want to talk about another topic here that I think is really going to hit home for sterile processing professionals, and that is about surface disinfectants. And there's still many departments around the country whose it's sterile processing's responsibility to clean equipment that's made of plastics and rubber and vinyl, things like IV pumps. And yet there is always a question around what products and what chemicals are best designed for that particular work, because it's a different category in a sense from the reprocessing of medical devices. I'm wondering if you could speak to the current tools that Sertol has available for that.
Yeah, we do have a disinfectant line called ProSpray. We have wipes, we have solutions, sprays, and it is a formulation that really does provide some better material compatibility. It's a non-alcohol based formula. And, you know, when you're out there in the market, a lot of people are really attracted to the claim of a 1 minute kill claim or kills instantly. And really that is good when you're talking killing microorganisms, but with those solvents that are in those products, it's also killing your equipment, you know, anything that's porous, vinyls, plastics, rubber, and over time, it's going to cause a lot of damage and can really, you know, cause a significant issue when it comes to infection issues, because damaged equipment, as we know, does not perform to its top level capability. I do have an example. It's, you know, not necessarily when it talks about, you know, talking about pumps or infusion lines, things like that, but I was asked by a professional at a healthcare facility here in town as well, and they are using iPads to check their patients in on just regular patient checkups or in the hospital, things like that. And what they've been noticing is their iPad screens have been getting absolutely ruined because they are using an alcohol-based disinfectant, and they are running into issues with the screens being hazy and unclear and cracking. And then that becomes a whole nother issue when you're having to deal with expense and replacing those materials and other issues. So that's what we're here to solve.
You know, Peggy, you also talk about solving problems. One of the things that Hank had asked earlier was just about the confusion in the industry and the fact that really highlighting what you all are doing to help clear up some of that confusion. But I think inadequate information or misinformation, that can be pretty common. So maybe you could take a deeper dive into how you're really trying to help all of those frontline technicians and even facilities when they're taking a look at how they're going to be approaching taking care of their devices, using the right products, so many products to choose from. How do you help?
So our approach is not just telling them use our product. Our approach is also to look at what they're dealing with, the type of equipment that they're dealing with, and to educate the folks about using the manufacturer's IFU for the device and the safety data sheet for a chemical to try to figure out what really is compatible for that device. And I think educating the SPD department about the use of manufacturer's IFUs with material compatibility and safety data sheets, that's a big part of a lot of the programs that I put out there to help with SPD education. Also, people are a little intimidated by sometimes being told that they have to use a certain brand of disinfectant by the infection control department, and that certainly is important. But sterile processing has maybe a different agenda. Sometimes they're not treating or disinfecting patient care rooms. They're taking care of equipment, and the equipment does have a real material compatibility issue. So that's our goal, is to try to help the departments understand this overall issue of following manufacturer's instructions, trying to understand how to find the chemicals that are in the particular product that they're using, and then to help them understand, as Brett was explaining earlier, sometimes faster is not always better when it comes to disinfectant. It's really material compatibility that's the big issue for sterile processing.
Yeah, you know, Peggy, you bring up something I think we discussed in a previous interview with you, but it's important to talk about again here just briefly, the idea that an infection preventionist or some kind of policy would name a brand name chemical in the IFU or in the policy, for instance. And I remember your answer from last time, but I would kind of like to set that up again for the audience here. If you come across an IFU or something like that that has a specific chemical name in it, how should providers and users react to that? What does that actually mean?
So that's a very good question, and it's a complicated question. If a particular device has a specific brand name of detergent or disinfectant, then the user does not have to assume that that is the only brand that they can use, but then they do need to get information from the device manufacturer about other parts of the chemical that may be important. For example, does it have to be neutral pH, or is the manufacturer really recommending an alcohol-free disinfectant? And in lieu of that, they mention a brand name. Ironically, the manufacturers sometimes mention chemicals that are actually contradicting their own IFU. So the manufacturers are not chemists, and they don't always understand how to find these chemical components or ingredients. This is why we like to have people understand how to use the safety data sheet to find out what some of these chemicals might be in order to follow the manufacturer's IFU. But it is a complex process, and unfortunately will involve some phone calls or emails to both the manufacturer of the device and the manufacturer of the chemical to get to the truth of what they're dealing with.
Yeah, you've got to do that due diligence, right? It's so important to make sure that you've balanced all of that. And we know in healthcare, there are oftentimes competing sort of expectations and guidelines. So you've got to gather all that information and then go from there. Let's talk about what differentiates you as an organization and your products from the competition. And maybe we'll start with Brett.
Well, I think, you know, Peggy's touched on this a few different times. We are really focused on quality. We don't sacrifice the production or manufacturing of our products just to get them out there. We make sure that they follow a certain standard and that all of them are going out the door with the same formulation, and they are reaching our customers with the patient in mind and patient safety and positive outcomes. I think really it's just all about long-term and making sure that we're giving hospitals and facilities products that they can work with and use long-term and not have to shop for alternatives or, you know, implement conversions or trials, which, as we all know, can be really, really time-consuming. So I think it's quality. Pricing is another big benefit since we are a manufacturer and we are focused on the chemicals themselves. We do have some ability to really structure our pricing to where it is focused on the facility and the goals of the facility and the end goal of maintaining patient safety and not worrying about the bottom line.
Peggy, what would you add? What are some key differentiators from your perspective?
I think that the real value of our Sertol products, just as Brett was saying, it's definitely quality. There is a huge range, as we've discovered in our own testing process, and I do want to emphasize that we have an on-site lab and an R&D process for continual quality control here at Sertol, but there is a really huge range in the quality and cleaning power between different brands of detergent. And as we have conducted our own in-house testing, we continue to be amazed at the claims that are made on some labels of some products where there is absolutely no activity whatsoever, or the cleaning power that's claimed is pretty minimal. So I think it's important for the healthcare facility technicians, managers, et cetera, to be aware of it. There really is a big range in the quality and cleaning power between various brands. So with our testing, we feel we can really stand behind our product that the more expensive ingredients like enzymes, chelating agents, the corrosion inhibitors, which are all very expensive components, that we make a real commitment to having those very expensive ingredients in a very high percentage, an effective percentage of those expensive ingredients in our products. And that we, if we make a commitment and we make a claim about a feature or benefit, that it really is in our product.
And we didn't really talk about education as a differentiator yet, but we know just from our interaction with you, your commitment to education. And so I'm just going to have you elaborate on that a little bit, because you know that that's something that we care very deeply about here at Beyond Clean. And it's a big part of our mission. And I think that's where we work really well together. So talk a little bit more about your commitment to education.
Sertol has really been a great company to make a commitment to education. It's an expensive part of an operation, especially at a smaller company, to have that commitment to the budget for doing education. Because what we offer to our customers is to go to various sites. We go actually on-site, and we provide on-site training. And that is both myself and Brett that to go out and do this on-site training for facilities until we are satisfied and they're satisfied that they not only understand our product, but they also understand the best practices that surround good use of that product. So I think we sum it up by saying that we're not just concerned about getting our product out in the marketplace, but we're concerned about helping our customers to have best practices while they're using our products.
Now, speaking of best practices, Brett, can you talk a little bit about the compatibility part of this, right? So if the chemicals are well-designed, well-researched, a particular hospital decides that they're going to go with this, but you bring a chemical in, and then immediately this chemical is going in to somebody else's equipment. If you would, just give a little bit of background about how that part of going from the chemical through equipment into the final use, whatever that may be, and the education and research that you put into that?
Well, I think to answer that question, a lot of that is performance-based. You know, you can put a chemical into any kind of a machine, but what we're really looking at is, does that chemical with the machine compatibility help clean those instruments and make sure that those instruments are clean and ready to move on to the next patient? That's something that we really, really focus on. And a number of facilities that we have visited and trialed, because they are looking for other alternatives. And, you know, I think it's giving them the tools, whether it be free sampling, trials, or, you know, on-site training, as Peggy spoke to a few minutes ago. But it's, yes, you know, overall, it's about performance. And when that performance shows and when you see the results, the compatibility speaks for itself.
And one other thing I'd like to add about material compatibility would be the testing that we did for our super concentrate detergents, so that we know that they're compatible for many types of instruments and devices. This creates a real problem if detergents are used that are not compatible. And in addition, the supers have been demonstrated to be very compatible with quite a variety of different washers and cart washers.
What do your customers say? I mean, I think that's always, proof is in the pudding, right? Like, what do your customers tell you about your products and working with you?
All the time, we hear nothing but positive feedback. And there's a lot of times when we will go in up against some of the big hitters in the industry, and they are looking for, you know, some performance compatibility or maybe something that's equal. And most times our products will either perform on the same level or outperform. And, you know, we have a number of very, very happy customers and people that speak highly of our product. And going back to, you know, the quality conversation. I think that's where it is. It ends there. It's quality, and you know, we don't sacrifice any of that for performance.
I would add another piece to that, in that having been here for a while at Sertol, I have to say that a lot of our ProEasy foam sales were actually originally totally driven by word of mouth. And this was, again, long before Joint Commission started focusing on point of use issues. So what would happen is that a facility would find that they could use ProEasy foam if they had to transport or hold something overnight or use it for labor and delivery. Then a technician from that facility would end up working at some other hospital, and they would insist on bringing ProEasy foam with them when they moved to another hospital. It was literally word of mouth and people taking the product from location to location. And then technicians calling us and telling us it's the only product they could find that prevented corrosion when it was being used overnight. So this really drove a lot of our testing that did occur later, because people called us first and told us that the ProEasy foam was actually working for these longer hold times. So it's an interesting thing that the product performance actually drove the marketing and testing instead of the other way around. I think that's a pretty impressive statement for a product.
So Peggy, that is the exact dynamic that any company would dream of, right? Converting customers into true product advocates. These are folks who are on the front lines, and they're promoting the product not because it's their job, but because they earnestly believe and they see the impact on the front lines. It makes their jobs easier, and ultimately it makes their patients safer. Wow, what a testament to quality there. And again, a testament to the commitment of the company itself to educate these folks to really understand all the dynamics and implications of the chemicals themselves.
Brett, you had mentioned earlier that one of your differentiators was pricing. Obviously, quality and education, but also pricing. And what we like to do is really share incentives with our listeners to take the next steps and reach out and contact you all. I know we're going to talk about education in a minute, and we've been talking about that. But what incentives do you have if somebody is a frontline manager and they want to bring a product to the table? They're ultimately going to have to run that through the supply chain. And it's these incentives that really help them get to the next step.
Yeah, that's true. And I think because we are a small company and we are the manufacturer, and like I said, we have a little bit of flexibility when it comes to our pricing, especially when it comes to full line conversions. I know that we had talked about earlier about the expense associated with, you know, the hospitals and what they're looking at as far as their bottom line and trying to make sure they're reducing expenses. But you know, what we want to do is make sure that we are offering programs that help the facilities and give them a reason to move forward with us. And, you know, it's a roundabout answer, but we can tailor these programs to fit the needs of the facility. And like I said, the main point is that we're here to help with efficiencies, and we really want the best possible outcomes. So when it comes to those incentives, it is the incentive to help the patient, to keep people safe, and we can build programs that do both when it comes to the economics and the safety profile.
Well, now I'm going to take the opportunity to emphasize education, because as you know, we care very much about it, and we see you all over the speaking circuit, and we want our listeners to be able to reach out to you and access education as well. I know that you're both longtime ISHM members and conference attendees. We're going to see you in Chicago this year, but you can also be visited at your booths at SGNA, AMI, and AORN, so that's fantastic. You guys have really done a nice job in this area. It definitely is a differentiator.
Yeah, thank you. Really, all of this is a big shout out to Peggy. I've learned a lot from her. She has some amazing clinical experience, and as an educator, she has been a real mentor to me. And, you know, to have her as a resource is invaluable. So, you know, for people to be able to take advantage of what she offers, personally, I think it's an amazing opportunity.
Thank you, Brett. And I also want to say that it's a great motivator to be able to represent a company not just for sales and marketing. That's certainly important. Companies do have to make money. But to be able to do it in an ethical and appropriate way where we can support best practices, help people to do the right thing, and provide them with products that really work. It's a great combination, and I feel really privileged to be able to use some of my past experiences, things that I'm learning every day. I really learn a lot from all of you out there in sterile processing land. People call with great questions. I learned a lot from Beyond Clean. So it's great to be able to share this with everybody out there who's doing the real work of cleaning instruments and taking care of patients.
Well, we've learned a lot from you as well, and really do appreciate all your support on the podcast over the years, and even early on as we were getting our start. So thank you for embracing what we've been trying to do and being such a key piece of sterile processing education across the country. For our listeners, I want to tell them how to reach you. They can call Sertol at 1-800-843-3343, and of course, ask for Peggy or Brett, but you can email them directly as well. Peggy Spitzer is pspitzer@sertol.com, and Brett Norton is bnorton@sertol.com. They are both more than willing to travel for educational purposes or to guide your facilities through conversions and or opportunities. You can visit their website at sertol.com, and they also have an active and responsive social media presence. And Hank, I know you love hearing that because social media is your game. Facebook.com/sertolusa, LinkedIn.com/company/Sertol-International, and then on Twitter at @SertolUSA. We'll have all of that posted in the show notes. Peggy and Brett, you did an awesome job on the show today, but you're doing an even better job educating the industry all across the country. And I just want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We like being partners with Beyond Clean.
That was Brett Norton, Sales and Marketing Manager for the Medical Division, and Peggy Spitzer, Clinical Education Manager, both from Sertol International Incorporated. And Hank, this was an excellent vendor spotlight. And I think the main takeaway for me was very specifically about having the right chemical for the right job.
Yeah, Justin, I would say for me, it's got to be that point of use topic. I know we've talked about it again and again on the podcast, but the reason we keep talking about it is because facilities keep struggling with it. And even the idea that a 72-hour time window is available with these products, I think that is a solution that could fit a lot of different scenarios, as we've mentioned, different departments, but even off-site locations that just can't get that immediate turnaround from point of use back to decontam. They've got to have some kind of solution to bridge the gap, and I was glad to hear about those options on this episode.
And Hank, you know how much I care about point of use cleaning as a topic. I love to educate across the country at various trade shows and conferences because I think there's just never enough attention that's paid to it. But another one that is a topic that isn't always as well known or discussed is surface disinfectants for equipment, especially made of like rubber and plastics and vinyl, talking like those IV pumps. I think that was a critical discussion point on this interview too. And finally, Brett and Peggy, they love to educate. And this is something that's near and dear to our heart at Beyond Clean. And I just want to reinforce that you can reach out to them. They love to travel and speak for educational purposes, either at your facility or for your conferences, for your local ISHM chapter. You can contact them by reaching out to the Sertol phone number 1-800-843-3343 and just ask for Peggy or Brett. And you can also reach them by email, pspitzer@sertol.com or bnorton@sertol.com. And of course, check out their website, sertol.com. That's going to do it for this vendor spotlight. As a reminder, you can help support Beyond Clean by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Hank and myself, thank you for listening to this vendor spotlight with Sertol International.